My name is Blake. If you have no idea who I am, then don't worry. You won't need to know anything about my past to read this, and if you want to skip the intro bullshit, feel free to skip ahead. Here's what's funny about life-changing experiences. It's really fucking tough to go back to normal. After I left Infected Town for the final time, I returned to San Francisco to find I no longer had a job, an apartment, or almost any friends. I wasn't particularly surprised, of course. I'd been gone for nearly 3 years. My bank account was okay, and I managed to track down some of the stuff that my landlord hadn't sold. But I was broke, jobless, and sleeping out of the old pickup truck for a solid month there. I took the opportunity to cut ties and make a fresh start in my new town. So it worked out okay for me. But I guess what I'm saying is, if I had a criminal record, no college degree, or even fewer bucks in the bank, I would have been futterly ucked. They never mention that. At the end of the adventure books, when the hero beats the big bad and begins his journey home, they never show the fallout when he actually gets there. Not that I'm a goddamn hero. I should get my drift. Once I settle down and find gainful employment, I try to live a normal life. Get up, coffee and a cigarette, go to work, come home, smoke a joint, fall asleep. Wash, rinse, repeat. No friends, no Claire, no family. Yeah. I had an apartment and a job and money. It sucked. Didn't enjoy the stability. I thought a lot about the town, the mold, the monsters. Even kinda longed for them. At least when I was there, or with Liz. I was never bored. Possessed, terrified, amazed, sure. Sometimes all three, but I was never fucking bored. Barely lasted 2 weeks before I started looking for freelance work online. I have a degree in graphic design. I quit my job almost as soon as I found any. Broke my lease, bought an RV. I've never looked back. Money's tight. Sometimes I can't sleep from the nightmares. I get lonely every so often, but I'm happier now than I've ever been. Even before Infected Town. I'm on the road a lot. When I can't sleep, I just drive. When I'm not hunched over my laptop working, I'm on the hunt. See, that's the thing. Infected Town haunts me. The mold and the creatures and the entity. They were so real I forgot at times that they were supernatural. And it got me thinking. What else is out there? And how prevalent are they? These creatures we don't understand. How much magic is in this world? That question plagues me. Forums like No Sleep are all well and good, but you can tell stories for hours. I want to live the stories. Call it an itch, an addiction, whatever. It's what drives me, because I think that if I don't use what the entity did to us to get stronger, it will end up killing me. Listen to me. Waxing dramatic. Obnoxious. What I came here to say is the hunt is proving fruitful. I started with Craigslist posts in my area, different websites. Usually my message was the same. Tell me your story, no matter how absurd. Show me what you got. I'll listen. I'll believe you. The local response was impressive, so I branched out to the not-so-local. I get hits almost every day when people experience the unexplainable. They want to talk about it, and I figure you guys might want to hear about it. A couple months ago, I was contacted by a paranormal research group called the Institute for Higher Knowledge, which does pretty much what I do, but with a lot more money behind it. They offered to pay my gas and lodging bills if I helped them keep up to date on what I find. No strings attached. Like a field agent or something, but I'm not actually employed there. Anyway, that's when I started making transcripts, making this shit official and all that. Whenever possible, I travel to where these people live and talk to them in person, and I always try to visit the scene of the incident. Got files on a lot of the shit that I've explored, and really interesting ones. I call them cases, like I'm some sort of hot shit paranormal detective. I'm not. There's no fucking detective work on here, trust me, but I have been all over the country, met dozens of people. I don't always record them, but I hear a lot of stories, and yes, some of them are your run-of-the-mill ghost, demon, Sasquatch, alien yarns, and maybe even most of them. Those are great, don't get me wrong. But they're not the stories I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you the weird ones. Note, this will probably always stick with me because it was the first real abnormal one. This also marks my first time transcribing recorded interviews, so the style might get a little bit fucked. I used initials. Mine are B.E. Case number 4, The Hole. Location, Seattle, Washington. Date, December 20th, 2016. Witness name, Sam D. All last names are omitted for privacy. The relationship to the case, the tenant of the building of apartment 108 contacted me about this one on Craigslist. We're sitting in Sam's tiny living room, nursing cold beers. Like most of the building, this room is dim and dusty. Even with the curtains thrown wide and every bulb illuminated, it feels like we just can't get enough light in here. Sam lights a cigarette, offers me one, which I accept. He's tall and skinny. Peaky complexion and long, greasy hair. His eyes are a little wild. His hands shake as they cup the lighter to his lips. He inhales the first drag of his cigarette with a deep and satisfied draw of a man who would gladly embrace the more meager comforts. I say nothing, waiting for him to start. I've learned over the past few months that if you just wait, people almost always talk to fill the silence.
So I guess it started, I'd say maybe half a year ago, maybe 6 months. Don't really know though. I mean, but I think the first time I heard anything about it was around the 4th of July. Natalie, she's on floor 3. You should talk to her too. She's the one that invited me down there. I think she found it first. Her or Maggie. They're real close. So, but anyway, one of them found it. And then Nat told me, and then I think it just kinda spread through the building. Everyone knows everyone. There's only a dozen or so apartments, and it's pretty tight-knit. So now most of us go down there every day.
Every day?
Well, yeah, man. You got something like this in your own building? You're gonna want to visit it every chance you get. We got a wonder of the world down there.
So just... can you describe it? You said it was...
a hole. Yeah, it's a big old hole. It's in the basement. Fucking mysterious. No one knows where it came from.
Like, could it be an old well or something, or a sinkhole? I hear those...
No, man. No way. Its shape is totally wrong. It's like... you'll see it. More like, you know, those sewer grates in the sidewalk? Kind of that shape and size, but without the grate over it. Rectangular, very straight, even lines.
Weird.
I know. The sides look like they're concrete, water-stained. Maybe have some moss or something growing on them. So maybe it was a well or something. But that's... I don't know. That's pretty fucking unlikely. Excuse my French.
No, speak as much French as you want.
Thanks, man. Anyway, we measured it one time. 8 feet long, 4 feet wide. Corners are perfect 90-degree angles. As for how deep? No way to tell, right? I mean, we've tried. We started with just tossing, like, pebbles and shit down there. They'd plink against the walls, but then they'd get swallowed up. It's so fucking dark down there, man. You throw a rock or something like a big fucking stone, you know? But as soon as it falls the first 5 or 10 feet, you can't see it anymore. It's just like whoosh and it's gone. Swallowed up. Almost like there's liquid or water or something down there. But there's not. We've hung ropes with buckets and everything, but nope. It's just empty air. Just empty darkness. It's fucking weird, man. It's cool, though. So we tried to figure out how deep it was a couple times. Started with, like, throwing bigger shit down there. Bigger rocks and shit from the garden. We never heard anything hit bottom. Then my buddy, Marty, had the idea to bring his kid's toy. This big light-up keyboard thing. Where if you press a button on it, it played a nursery rhyme song. It was his kid's favorite toy. I feel kind of bad about that. But we had to know. We had to, like, gather data, you know? So we switch on the keyboard to, like, one of those demo tracks, and it lights up and starts playing, and we toss it down the hole. And dude, trust me, it was so weird. So I said, how's it really fucking dark down there? Well, we could see the toy's light blinking on and off for a few seconds. But once it went about, like, maybe about 50 feet, they completely disappeared. We probably should have still been able to see the lights, but nope. It's like there's a threshold where all light is just fucking swallowed up. Or maybe the tunnel curves, I don't know. Maybe there's science behind it. Anyway, the really weird part is, we could hear the song kept playing as it fell. Fucking Ode to Joy, it never stopped. That fucker played the whole song for way too long. It got pretty quiet and echoey near the end. I guess because of how far away it was. But that keyboard never hit bottom. We probably even could have heard it if it kept playing, but the song ended. The piano was pretty big, too. Like, maybe this long across?
Sam shows me a space about 2 feet between his hands.
It would have made a huge crash when it hit bottom. But we never heard anything. I don't know, man. That shit is really fucking cool to me. After that, we tried with a rock tied to some fishing wire. We measured something like 1,000 meters before we ran out.
1,000?
Right? That's like 10 football fields. Fucking crazy. No bottom. We've dropped a bunch of shit in there. Tied shit to ropes. I wanted to try with a video camera next, but then Maggie put a stop to that. She won't let us drop anything down there anymore. Says it's... Anyway, she says it's not right.
What's not right? Throwing things down a hole?
Never mind, man. She's protective is all.
Protective?
Forget I said anything, man. It wasn't just Maggie anyways. Dropping shit down there could be dangerous for other reasons.
Like?
Well, I mean, you know, this thing is cool. And I don't think it's, like, unsafe or whatever. But I don't know, man. Ever since we threw the keyboard down there, me and Marty have been, hearing it.
Hearing what?
Fucking Ode to Joy, you know. Joyful, joyful, we adore you, la da 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 da.
Song the keyboard was playing.
Yeah, like specifically the song the keyboard was playing. Exactly. It sounds just like it did when we tossed it down there. The tinny fake keyboard demo music. It's weird. It started by... I heard it first in my dreams that night, playing kind of soft in the background. Woke up with it in my head. It's stuck in my head all the time now. I dream that song a lot. But then a couple of weeks later, I was taking a shower and over the noise of the water, I thought I heard it. Fucking Ode to Joy. Like it was coming from the pipes, maybe. I got down on my hands and knees, put my ear to the drain. It was really distant, kind of garbled. But it was there. Since then, I've been hearing it in all kinds of white noise. Fans, running water, you know. It's really distant, almost too quiet to hear. Almost seems like it could be my imagination, but, Marty hears it too. And now other people are hearing it. In the shower, over the sound of traffic, you know?
Jesus.
Yeah. So that's why we don't throw things down there anymore. Especially like, I don't know how to describe it. Maggie calls them activate objects. Things that make noise, stuff with batteries, also phones, cameras, nothing with personal stuff, books. She says personality could be a problem, whatever that means.
Huh.
Yeah, she's kind of confusing sometimes. But you'd be smart to listen to Maggie. The whole building knows that. Lady knows her shit.
Can I speak to her? I mean, you said that she's the one who found it, right? I'd like to hear about it.
Her or Nat, yeah. They found it. Let me text her.
I'm curious, have you guys told anyone about this? This seems like something that would get media attention, or you think the city would be interested. Now, doesn't Seattle have a shitload of underground tunnels? Could this have... this be something to do with those? This building is old.
No, well, I mean, a couple of us talked to the property manager, Jim C. He went down to look at it, but he said he'd handle it on his end. But we haven't heard anything about it since then. That was maybe a couple months ago?
Huh.
Yeah, it's for the best, though. None of us want a bunch of reporters swarming around here. The hole is... it's too special for all that shit, you know?
I guess.
You'll understand when you see it. Oh.
On that note, would now be a good time to head down there for my first viewing?
Well, maybe not tonight. I didn't mean tonight.
Oh, you sure? I gotta see this shit for myself.
No, I know.
Isn't that why you invited me here?
No, yeah, no, it's totally is just... maybe not tonight.
Well, could I talk to Maggie then? And we...
No, she's not. I gotta talk to her first. She won't talk to you.
Why?
Why? She's weird, man. I don't know. I'll talk to her. Just give me till tomorrow. Trust me, dude. I'll get you down there.
Well, we could just go right now. It's only one floor down, right?
No! Fuck. Sorry. No, we can't. It'd be disrespectful.
How is it...
disrespectful to Maggie. To the building. Trust me. You go down there now, you're gonna get the cops called on your ass for trespassing. Just let me talk to Maggie and we can go see it tomorrow, okay?
Okay. Yeah, no, I understand. No disrespect meant.
I know that, man. I know that.
Sam suddenly seems eager to have me gone, so I leave shortly thereafter. I don't even finish my beer. I consider going downstairs to find the hole myself. There are a few people in the lobby. It isn't blatant. They look like they're just loitering around, but I have a feeling that I'll be stopped if I approach the basement door. Date, December 21st, 2016. Sam's ghosting me today. He won't answer my calls or my texts. So much for getting to see the damn thing makes me wonder what he was hiding. Why he needs all this extra time. I've avoided any crazies so far besides that lady in L.A. who was convinced her gothy neighbors were devil worshippers. So maybe old Sam is going to be the first. But hey, benefit of the doubt and all that. I'll talk to the manager of the building. He lives off-site, and Sam mentions that he's seen the hole, too. Interview 2. Witness name, Jim C. Relationship to case. The landlord and building manager since 2006. Jim C. receives me in his office in downtown Seattle. He's probably in his 60s, thin and wiry, with a mean blue eyes. When I ask, he tells me in a brisk and, well, harassed kind of way, that his company manages 5 different sites around the city. Then he demands to know if I'm a journalist or something. He relaxes when I say I'm not, but now he's even more suspicious. He doesn't want to be recorded. I record him anyway.
So can we wrap this up if you're not here to inquire about rentals?
I'm interested in the building.
Uh-huh. What about it?
Well, I talked to your tenant, Sam D, about some kind of old well in the basement.
Oh, Jesus, not you too. If I hear one more word about that goddamn hole, I'm gonna lose my fucking mind.
Okay, some of your tenants have been complaining about it.
Complaining? I fucking wish. They talk about that hole of theirs like it's the lost fucking city of Atlantis. For the first couple of weeks, I got a few of them asking if it was a construction project or something. No, I says to them, no construction going on in that building, far as I'm aware of. Better not be anyway. Finally, it got so bad, I took a trip over there to check it out myself. Those people. That building is full of fucking loonies. Every single one of them. I mean, what are the odds of that? You fill 14 different apartments with 14 different families, and everything seems normal. For years, some of them, you think you got lucky. You think they're pretty good tenants. But it turns out all of them are fucking crazy.
I don't know. This hole or whatever it is. I mean, you have to admit, it's pretty interesting. I can kind of see why they're excited about it.
Have you been down to that basement, son?
No, well, not yet.
That explains it. There's no fucking hole there.
Sorry, what?
That's right. There's nothing there. I've checked. It's just, you go through that door off the laundry room, there's just an empty, half-finished basement. There's no goddamn hole. There's never been any goddamn hole. But you ask any tenant in that building, they'll insist there is. They'll insist it showed up 6 months ago, just appeared out of nowhere. They'll try to show it to you. 20-odd people. Every single one of them with the same story. Even the kids. Fucking crazies.
So, okay. So, what is this? Some kind of group delusion?
Whatever it is, and before you ask, it's not carbon monoxide, lead poisoning, or mold. I had that place inspected months ago. It's an old building, but it's safe.
And these people, you knew them before?
Oh, sure. Some of them quite well.
And they seem, mentally healthy. Mentally all there.
I never noticed anything off. Sure, one or two of them have always been a little rough around the edges, but they're good people. Good tenants. The lady in 306 is a second grade teacher, for Christ's sakes, and a couple of them are students at the U. It's not a building you'd expect to turn into an insane asylum.
Huh. Then I wonder. I'm cut off by the shrill ring of my cell phone. Shit, sorry. I fumble out of my pocket and go to end the call when I see the contact name. Sam D. Shit. I gotta take this. I rise out of my seat, already heading towards the door. Thanks for your time. Jim waves me off, turning back to his work. I answer Sam's call as I'm pushing through the building's glass door. Hello? Hey, Sam. I'm glad you... No, I'm just on... Oh, shit, she does? Yeah, no, I can't... Give me 10 minutes. I'm on my way.
Interview 3. Witness name, Maggie M., Natalie W., Sam D. Relationship to case. Tenants of the building. Apartments 309, 306, and 108, respectively. Maggie M. has offered to hold the interview in her living room. I don't know why I'm surprised. The way Sam talked about her, I expected someone hermetic or at least unsocial. But Maggie is the gorgeous woman of around 35, vivacious with fiery red hair. She laughs loudly, curses often, and smokes like a chimney. Also present is Natalie W., who Sam tells me first showed him the hole. Slightly younger, slightly quieter, and far more serious than the other girl, but perfectly pleasant nonetheless. Maggie's hand rests casually on her knee throughout our conversation, so I assume they're an item. Sam's here too. He hovers around behind the couch the women are seated in, looking down and restless. I have to wonder if there's some recreational drug use going on here, maybe meth.
If what Jim C. said is true, maybe this whole damn building's on something. We end up talking casually for over an hour before the whole is even discussed. Maggie is charisma personified. If not for the fact that she's clearly taken, I'd be tempted to make a move. I forget completely why I'm here. I enjoy myself. And then Sam says this.
Oh shit. Were we gonna show Blake the basement?
The mood shifts. Maggie's laugh trails off as she turns to give Sam a look that I can't catch. Natalie leans forward, clearly excited.
Yeah, what do you say, Mags?
Maggie turns to regard me solemnly, thoughtfully for a moment. I feel unaccountably nervous, like I'm waiting for an interview or a stay of execution. You could hear the muffled clink of my fingernails in this recording as I tap it restlessly against my glass. Finally, Maggie's mouth splits with a wide grin and I relax. My sigh is embarrassingly audible. She winks at me.
How about it, handsome? Think you're ready for it?
Think it's about goddamn time. Nat and Maggie burst into laughter, which on tape sounds a lot more like cackling than it did at the time.
Yeah, I think so too. You seem all right.
We start to move as a group towards the door, starting the long haul down to the basement. I keep asking questions and recording for the duration of the journey. You guys are pretty selective with who you choose to show this thing to, huh?
People are narrow-minded and selfish. We'd do best to keep it out of the hands of those who would use its power to do harm. You can't be too careful.
Hold up, I'm sorry, Maggie. No disrespect, but I mean, we're talking about a hole here, right? I agree, it's weird. Some kind of anomaly, but what power could it possibly have?
What a question.
You'll understand when you see it, Blake.
Yeah.
They always do.
Well, looking forward to it, I guess. How do you find this thing anyway?
Natalie found it.
Oh yeah? What happened?
I was doing my laundry in the basement, like I've done 1,000 times. I've lived here 4 years. Nothing even close to this has ever happened to me. I had no idea our building is special.
Maybe that's part of it. The way it took you by surprise. Maybe that's how you know it's a real miracle.
I think so. It must be.
So you were doing your laundry?
Yes, there's a door down there. You'll see it. It leads to an unfinished portion of the basement. I guess a storage space? It's right across from the washing machines. And before then, the door had always been closed and locked. I've tried it a couple times out of vague curiosity, but nah, it was always locked. I never really thought about it. I figured management kept, I don't know, cleaning supplies in there. But that morning, as I did my laundry, I felt something. Like, if you could feel a whisper, physically feel it, not hear it with your ears, actually feel the whisper envelop you. Soft, but strong, like it was calling me.
Beautiful.
And I turned around, and I saw that locked door was standing open. Just a little, just a couple inches. I'd never seen that before. And at first I thought, that's kind of creepy. I didn't like having my back to it, so I went to check it out. But as soon as I got closer, it didn't seem so scary anymore. It just seemed new. I opened the door wide. It's very dark in there, as you'll see. And that's the first time I saw it. Of course I got Maggie right away. Things like this rarely come into people's lives. Almost never. We decided we had to share it with the rest of our neighbors.
Yeah? Things like this?
It's mythical. Its shape alone could tell you that. Foresighted. Perfect. Divine. Two concrete. Measurable dimensions, length and width, and a third unknowable depth. Like the faces of God. It means something. It has to. You don't keep mythical secrets from those who could learn from it. We aren't old men in white robes with closely guarded, cabalistic secrets and vast hoards of wealth. We are a new kind of student. We believe everyone should see.
But you don't want media attention.
Everyone within reason.
We enter the lobby and I realize that I'm being herded like a lamb. Maggie's out front leading the charge, but Sam and Nat are closed on either side. We pass two other tenants, a man and a woman, who lean against a wall, chatting.
You're headed to the basement, Maggie.
Yep. Come along, won't you? This is Blake.
The newcomers fall into step behind me, and I have the fleeting thought that I'm effectively barred from escape on all sides. I brush this off and watch as Maggie steps forward and opens the basement door. It creaks as she does so, and on tape the sound is very loud, very deep. The groan of a sunken ship, buffeted by a tide. An ominous sound. I feel the change as soon as we step foot upon the basement stairs. The atmosphere is suddenly thick, it's heavy. Like we're moving through a dense fog. It's dim everywhere in the building, but the darkness takes on an inky quality here, substantial, almost as if it was a living, breathing thing. It encroaches upon the wall lamps and pushes into the lobby. At this point, I get excited. The only place I have ever felt an atmosphere shift nearly this intense was in Infected Town, which feels completely different than the entity did. But simultaneously, it's exactly the same. The auras of two distinct supernatural things, unlike in flavor, but auras nonetheless. My body erupts into goosebumps. This is real, I think to myself. This is real and powerful and dangerous. Possibly even evil, if evil exists. All my doubts about the whole anomaly are eviscerated before I even get my first look. You can't fake an atmosphere like that. I think Maggie senses my excitement. I feel a hand on my arm, cool and gentle, and I watch her lips curl into a smile. None of the others seem as unnerved by this place as I am. Maybe they're just used to it. Maybe it doesn't seem as malicious to them as it does to me. If I'm picking up Maggie's not-so-subtle vibes correctly, whatever's here, it's making my hackles rise and my fight-or-flight instincts kick in. It was exactly what these people see as some kind of spiritual experience. Pretty blind, if you ask me. Who the fuck am I to judge? We descend the stairs in silence and reach the basement.
In there.
The laundry room is spacious, tidy, and should be well lit by afternoon sunlight streaming in through the high windows, but opposite the washing machines, a door stands wide, beckoning, a shadow on the wall which instantly draws the eye. Sludgy, ink-black darkness seems to pour through it, nearly as substantial as smoke. It somehow dims the effect of the sunlight. This room is substantially darker than the rest of this dark building, no matter how many windows it has. I wonder briefly what the hole's purpose is. Does something live inside of it? Something old and deep? Or is this hole itself alive somehow? Does it have motives, desires? Is it inanimate, or does it think the way people think? I'm suddenly gut sure that I will know the answer when I see it. I'll understand. I cross the laundry room, still flanked on all sides by the tenants of this dark place. People who already know and understand the hole. No wonder they're entranced, I think. Power like this mesmerizes, so it attracts, and mere humans were drawn to its web from my experience. Rarely escape. There we go, waxing dramatic again. We stop in front of the door, and the darkness inside seems to writhe in anticipation. I can barely see the room beyond. Shadows coat and cling to every surface.
After you.
Maggie waves me inside. I step into the hole's chamber, the tenants following close behind, silent. I linger in the doorway, not wanting to fall into the pit in case its edges are closer than I surmise. The room is very dark, with rough stone walls, packed dirt floor. And for a moment, that's all I can make out. Blinking rapidly, my eyes slowly adjust to the darkness. And I'm able to see it.
Isn't it beautiful?
I don't respond.
It feels lonely somehow. Lonelier every time I visit. Like it wants something.
Like the hole wants.
But I come down here every day. We all do. Spend hours with it. Shit, why's it gotta be lonely?
I think. Maybe it wants more than that. I think. I feel that it wants to be close to us. Closer than we are right now.
I think I want that too.
Murmured agreements from the others.
How do we do that, Mags?
Give me time. I'll think of something.
As they talk, the group moves around me, leaving me by the door to head deeper into the room and form a loose semicircle. I'm thoroughly unnerved by the conversation, and their attention is completely preoccupied. Their eyes are all fixed down into the hole, converging on the same distant point as though staring into a black abyss. As I watch them, I notice the pale, sickly sheen across their foreheads. Their manic expressions, I notice for the first time how sick they look. The waxy skin, the black circles under wide eyes, the deep creases in their smile lines. Obsession personified. Soon the group falls quiet, one by one. The silence rings in this recording. eerie and complete. The five tenants' gazes are still fixed downward. Down, down into the depths. But the cogency leaves them. Their eyes go blank, their mouths go slack, their shoulders slump. It's like they're completely entranced. More than that, it's almost like they're listening to something. It's a long, silent moment as the five people stand swaying in the dark room. I'm in the doorway watching with confusion and mounting horror. I can imagine them doing this a lot. Every day. If Sam is to be believed, it seems normal for them as they were doing anything strange at all. It's just a part of their daily schedule. Get off work, go to the apartment basement, zone out with a hole for an hour. Then, and maybe it's the trick of the light, maybe I'm so wound up I imagine it, but I swear, suddenly all five of them look up at once. No communication passed between them, but at the exact same instant, all 10 eyes flick upwards. Together as one, I'm already about to back out of the room when this happens, but I freeze under their collective gaze. For a long time, the group watches me with animal intensity, and I stare back. I see Maggie nod almost imperceptibly to something I can't hear, and through the darkness, I can barely make out that her lips are moving in a silent lydacy. Where the other mouths hang slack, hers curves upward in a greedy smile. Where the other eyes are dull and unfocused, hers are sharp and shining. Slowly, she raises her hand and reaches out to me. I slip backwards out of the room without any more ado. I turn and head quickly for the stairs, and by the time I get to the lobby, I'm running. It was a relief to get out of that building, into light and normalcy. That darkness was pervasive, oppressive. I left Seattle immediately, like I was running for my life. For days after, I felt the hole's aura clinging to me, oozing through my pores. Whatever presence is in that building, it's something real, something even a hard-headed skeptic would have trouble scoffing at, and it's something bad. Otherwise, I don't know what it is. What to define it as, a creature, an anomaly, a beast. I don't know exactly how it affects the tenants of that building, and I don't know what it wants from them. But I do know that when I walked through the door and peered through that darkness, all I saw was a plain dirt floor in an unlit but otherwise nondescript basement room. There was no hole there. There's nothing else to this story besides this. A few months later, I googled that apartment building just to see if anything popped up, and none of the tenants ever tried to contact me after I left without a word. I had a feeling they were sort of used to my kind of reaction. Not a lot popped up on the search pages besides an article on a 3-year-old boy who'd gone missing from there a few weeks ago. He'd been staying with his dad, who was also missing. Mom thought he'd kidnapped him. Piqued my interest, so I called Jim C., the landlord, and transcribed our conversation. Case number 4, the hole, addendum. Date, March 10th, 2017. Phone call with Jim C.
Hello?
Hi, Mr. C., this is Blake E. We talked back in December about that, building.
Blake! How are you, son?
You remember me?
Of course I do! I'd never forget you! How much you helped me!
No, I think that you might be...
After you came in to ask about the hole, I figured I'd go back to that building to check it out again. See if there was something I missed. And there was, sure as shit! Couldn't believe it myself. But sometimes I guess it takes more than once to really see it.
Hold up. You saw the hole?
Of course I did. It's there, plain as day. I'm on my way over for a visit right now, matter of fact. It gets lonely, you know? Now that the building's empty. The hole gets so lonely. I visit every day, but I don't think that's enough anymore.
Jesus Christ, Jim. I don't know what you're thinking, but...
Oh, I know you worry. Everyone worries. But I tell them, and I'll tell you, there's nothing to fear. The hole is... It's special. It's really something special. Son, I don't use this word a lot, but that hole is something sublime.
You gotta be kidding me.
Don't believe me, huh? Can't blame you for that. But you will. Just come back and visit sometime. You'll understand when you see it.
No, please listen to me, okay? That thing is bad news.
Well, it was great catching up, old friend. Thanks again. You really... really helped change things around here. I just got to the building, so I'd better head inside.
Jim.
You want to come up and visit sometime?
I will. Jim, if you turn around right now and go back home, I'll go to Seattle by tonight, and I'll come visit. You just wait for...
I'd better go. Don't want to hold things up. It's an important day for me. For us. I'll talk to you later if I'm... Well, if I'm still around, I guess.
Jim! Jesus!
Bye now.
I called an anonymous tip to the local police, but I don't know if they ever sent anyone to check on him. I was in Kansas at the time. Driving back to Seattle wasn't feasible. I wasn't... And I haven't heard from Jim C. since. That night, I started looking up the tenants I knew by name. News sites, social media, whatever. Sam D., Margaret M., Natalie W. Missing, missing, missing. Happened 2 months after my visit, apparently. Some kind of mass exodus. But I have to wonder, if there's no hole there, then where do they go? But there aren't any answers. At least not answers I'm willing to learn, because you only understand when you see it. And I think by that point, it's already too late. That's it for now. I have more cases, though. A lot more. And I'll be posting again, soon. To be continued. Thank you.